Up first on Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis, the third of the wide lines. Omar Mar, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Lo Yetze Hazav Bekishalo. So Zav, who wears this pouch around his lower parts in order to collect the Ziva, is prohibited from going out to Rishus Arabim. Velo Izen Bekis Shebedadehem. We're not allowed to tie a pouch around the udders of the goats in order to catch the milk. And the Gemara asks Astira, we have another brisa that contradicts this, Vasanya. The second brisa says, Yotzos Izim Bikish Shebedadehem, that the goats are allowed to go out in Rishus Aravim with this pouch on their udders. Now we're going to have a number of different answers to this Astira. The first answer, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo kasha hadimahadik hadilomahadik. It all depends upon whether we have to worry about the possibility that the pouch may fall out. If it's not tightened around the body of the goat, then it falls down and then he might carry it in Rishus Arabim. But in a case where he fastened it very securely, that's okay, that's mutter. And now we have a second answer. Rav Yosef Omar Tanoi Shaklis Mealma. Have the Tanoim left the world? In other words, there's a simple reconciliation that these two brises represent two different approaches. Tanoihi, it's a machlokas Tanoim. This is not in our mission. It says ha'izim yotzos tsruros, that you're allowed to tie the udders of the goats and they could go out in Rishus Arabim. Rabbi Yossi oser bekulam. Rabbi Yossi says all the above cases that are mentioned in the Mishnah are prohibited. Chutz min arachelos hakvunos. Okay, we'll have a long discussion about arachelos hakvunos in just a few minutes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Izim. Ah, are you allowed to tie the udders of the Izim? So he says, Yotzos tsruos liyabesh avalo lichalev. It depends what his purpose is. If he's let's say the A's has already been milked and there's an abundance of milk, an overabundance of milk that might weaken the goat. So he ties up the udders so that no more milk will come up. That's called liyabish. That's mutter. Avalole cholev. But not if it's for his protection, that he wants to make sure the milk doesn't fall on his garments and soils them. Now we have a third possibility. Could be that both prices reflect the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. There's no need to say that this is a machlokas Shita Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda, but rather we should differentiate between the two brises, Kan Liyabesh, Kan Lichalev. The brises are authored by Rabbi Yehuda, but one brise is addressing a case where he adds this pouch in order to prevent excessive milk from going into the udders of the goat, and that's permissible. That's for the benefit of the goat, and that's not considered a masa, a carrying. But kamli chalev. But if he adds the pouch in order just to collect the milk, that's prohibited. Tanya, we have a brisa. Om Rabbi Yehuda Maisa beizim bebeis antochia. A certain occurrence took place in a certain place that had Ezin. They had goats. Shayu dadeim gasim. The udders were very large, and there was an abundance of milk that could really endanger the goat. The asulem kisim shalo yisartu dadeim, and he allowed them to tie these pouches, and they were tied in such a way that it would prevent the animal, let's say if it sat down or if it passed over thorns, that it shouldn't get injured. And anything that's attached to the animal's body for the sake of the animal, for protection of the animal, that's permissible on Shabbos, in Rishus HaRavim. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Bi'echa, this is a story about someone who had a miracle. And there are two opinions in the Gemara as to whether this miracle is indicative of the greatness of the person or just the opposite. Maisa b'yechad shemesa ishto, he had a little baby and his wife Nebuch died. Hinichalo ben linok, in those days nursing was critical. Lo hoyalo schar meniko litain, he was very poor. V'nasalo nes, he had a miracle. V'niftachu lo dadim b'shnei dadei isha. So he developed miraculously breasts in order to nurse his son, Veinikes Beno. Two approaches to this miracle. Omer Rav Yosef, Borei Kama Gadol Adam Zeh. Look how great this man is. He couldn't afford to pay a woman to nurse his son, but God did him a nes. Shenaslo nes kazeh. Unbelievable change in the natural order of the universe. Omer lo Abaye. Abaye said, Adraba, Kama Garua Adam Zeh, Shenishtanu lo Sidre Breishis. In other words, as the Maral Miprag develops in a very long essay, God doesn't want to change the natural order of the universe. He created nature, and that's God's Shulchan Aruch of biology and so forth. This person, in a sense, forced, so to speak, the hand of God to change the laws of nature. That's not something that's part of the will of God. So on the one hand, he had a great merit, and God did this miracle. But on the other hand, that's not so impressive that God would have to change the natural order of the universe. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Bo Re'e, from this story, you can come and see, Kama Kashim is Onosav Shal Adam, how difficult it is for God it's like a challenging miracle for God to change the order of nature for the sake of Mizonos Shenishtanu of Sidre Breishis. In other words, God would have provided for a person in a way that he can get money. Let's say God could have provided for this individual that he would get a job, he would be able to have an income and support and pay for a nursing wife, a nursing woman. And instead, God said that, you know what, I can't just give him man min hashamayim. I can't provide for his food from the heavens. That's too difficult. It's easier to bring about this change in nature. And at this point, the Gemara makes an observation again about mizonos of shel adam, how difficult it is for a person to find support. Omer Rav Nachman Teda. God, instead of bringing food for him, like income, as we said before, God had to change nature. That's how difficult it is for God to bring food for a person. And there's a long discussion in the literature about why it's so difficult. The Mizonos of Shel Adam is even more difficult than Kriyas Yamsuf, than the splitting of the sea. Tana Rabbanan. Now there's a Gemara here about the tznius, about the midah of modesty. Ma'isu be'odam nochet shenasa isha gidemes. Here's a man who married a woman whose arm apparently was amputated. V'lo hiker bad mosa. And he never remembered it, he never noticed it until after her death. So the Mefarshim say, well, what happened when she died? So some say, it's interesting, that the Chevra Kadisha, when they came to bury her, they realized that she doesn't have an arm. She had a prosthetic arm. And they had to know whether or not to bury her with that prosthetic arm. So they called up the husband and they asked him what we should do. And that's when he first found out that she didn't have a natural arm. Omar Rav, Bo Re'e Kamatznua Isha Zu. Look at this modesty of a woman, Shelo Hikir Ba Baila. And I guess she kept her body covered in a very modest way that her husband never knew that she didn't have an arm or a hand. And it's not exactly clear what she was. Omer lo Rabbi Chia said, Zo darka bakach. Okay, a woman would naturally want to conceal, you know, that fact. Ella, but rather say it this way. Kama tzanua adam zeh. Look how the man is so modest. Shol hikir b'ishto. Until the Chevra Kadisha called him up, he didn't know that his wife was missing an arm or a hand. Anyway, getting back to our sugya, the Mishnah says, Zecharim Yotzim Levuvim. We're going to have a whole number of interpretations about Levuvim. And this is a reference to male sheep, otherwise called rams. And my Levuvim, what does the word Levuvim mean? And each possible interpretation requires a pasuk to show the Hebrew source in Lashon Kodesh of the word levuvin. Omer Avuna tutrei. According to Rav Huna, when the owners of these animals wanted to guarantee that the animals wouldn't get lost, they wouldn't roam and run away, they would tie two different animals together in pairs, and that's mutter on Shabbos. In other words, you're allowed to let the two animals go out with this this strap or whatever it was that tied the two animals together. And the reason for that is because it's for the benefit of the animal. You know, the animal gets fed very well when he's at, you know, in the corral. If he gets lost out there in the wilderness, who knows what's going to happen to the animal. So anything for the protection of the animal is permissible in Rishus HaRabban. My mashma dehai levuvin lishna de karuvehu. You know, you're putting these two animals together like a pair. So the word levuvin means there's closeness. Dechsiv, from the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, it says, libavtani achosi kala, that you have captured my heart, O sister, O bride. This has to do with the relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael. And it's a reflection on the closeness, like that of an endeared sister. And closeness is the word that we're using here in our Mishnah, that the two animals now are close together because they were bound together in pairs, so that they wouldn't be able to run away. Ula Omar, he has a different take in the word levuvim, or shekoshrim lahem keneged libam. Now, this is interesting because the Gemara assumes that there's an ongoing, I'm going to call it friction, for lack of a better word, between goats and wolves. And very often wolves will attack goats, and it seems, according to the Gemara's understanding, that wolves attack the heart. They go straight for the heart. So in order to protect the goats or the rams, they used to tie some sort of a strap or a leather piece around the heart of the ram, and that would protect it from the wolves. So the Gemara asks, well, why does the Mishnah mention the males? Zecharim, it says in the Mishnah. The wolves are not going to attack the female sheep? That's ridiculous. And the Gemara answers, Mishum de mazgu beresh edra. The males go ahead of the females when the flock moves in one direction or another. So the Gemara says, "Uze'evim bereish edra nafli b'sofed jalonafke," and the wolves only attack at the head of the flock; they don't attack the people in the rear. Ela mishum deshabne, but they rather get the fat ones, and the males are fatter than the females. So he says, "Unekevus leka shabne." Now you can't protect the females. Sometimes the female sheep are also quite zaftig, as we say; they're a little bit overweight. Vesu, and furthermore, mi yadi bein hani lahani. Is it really true that the goats will know the difference between the fat ones and those that aren't so fat? Just give me a second here to turn the page here. Sorry, and the Gemara says that the wolves don't know the difference between these and these. El mishum de zakfei chot mayu umazgi be ki davi. This is an amazing psychology here in animals, that the male rams, and probably the goats as well, they keep their, literally, if I translate, they keep their nose up in the air. They have a certain conceit about them. You know, they hold to themselves. And the wolves get very nervous, because the wolves think that this is a way that they're going to attack the wolves. In other words, again, it makes more sense to me that this would apply to goats, but in any event, the wolves are very upset about the male sheep who are showing themselves to be so great. They keep their noses up in the air, and that's true of the male, the rams, but not of the female sheep. So we have to protect these animals, and again, as we said, anything for the protection of the animal, which in this case is called levuvim, is mutter. Now we have a third take on the word levuvin. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omar, or shekoshim lemtachas zachrusom kidei shlo yalu al hanikevos. So apparently there were mating seasons, and the males would mate with the females, and then there were seasons where, you know, that was not a good idea. Let's say, for example, the females had just given birth, So it would not be healthy for them to again get pregnant, because that would possibly interfere with their ability to nurse and raise their young. So what they would do is they take a piece, a strap, and they would tie it to the rams, in this case the male sheep, under the private areas, kidei, so that they would stop perivarivia. They would prevent multiplication, the intimacy between the male and the female. Mi mai? How do you see this in the Mishnah? Mi dektoni seifa? If you look in the seifa of the Mishnah, it says harachelim yotzos shchuzos, that they allow the female sheep, the ewes, to go out. Shchuzos, my shchuzos, what does shchuzos mean? Sha'ochzim ha'alya shalahem lemala. Kedei sheyalu aleihem zecharim. That during mating season, and the rechelim were not raising young babies, so they would tie up the tail in an upward position to expose the genitals, and that would arouse the males to have a relationship with the females. And we're going to say the following: Reisha kidei shelo yalu al hanikevus. The levuvin is done in order to cover the male organs, so that they would stop procreation because it was not the right season for that. But seifa kidei sheyalu aleihem zecharim, and the seifa with regard to the females, to lift up the tail in such a way that it would expose the genitals and encourage this reproductive process during the right season. That's the two sides of the coin, and they're both mutter for the sake of the protection of the species. And the mutter in Bereshis Rabban Shah, my mashad haishchuzos lishna de gluyehu. Again, we go back to the Torah and we look for some source for the fact that the word shchuzos means to expose, in this case, to expose the genital area and arouse the males. And the answer is, tichsiv a pasuk. In Mishle, it says, "Vehine isha likraso shis zona unitzuras lev." Okay, so the word shis here is I think you have to read it as an otrikun. That just one second. Oh yeah, that shchuzos means shis zona. If you take those two words together, which means exposed like a harlot, because he's castigating the people, so that gives you the word shchuzos. So shchuzos is a combination of two words, shis and zona. Now the Mishnah goes on and speaks about the female sheep and describing three different situations. The first one is Rechelim Yotzos Kvulos. Now, kavul means when you chain something down in order to prevent it from going out and doing something. My Kvulos. So what does it mean you're allowed to tie these ewes? And the answer is Shemakablim Alya Shalahem Lamata. So when it's not the proper season for mating, they used to tie down their tails to cover the genital area, kidei shelo yalu aleihem zecharim, inhibit the procreative gesture, and that's called kvulos. My mashdai kavul lishna delo ovid perihu. How do you see that the word kavul somewhere in the Tanakh indicates that we are stopping, arresting the process of productivity, of perivarivia, so that kvulos means we're chaining something down, in this case the tail of the ewe to its genital area, in order to prevent procreation. Dichsiv, because the Torah says, in Malachim it says, Ma ha'orim ha'ila sher nasata li achi. So this has to do with one of the kings of the non-Jewish nations at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and he would complain Okay, his name was Hiram. Okay, he came from a nation called Tsar. And he had contributed a great deal of money and wealth for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which is itself a sugya, why we received and accepted that money, but that's not for us. And in gratitude, Shlomo gave him various cities in Israel, up in the north. And he wasn't happy. Why wasn't he happy? Because he said, this is Eretz Kavul. Kavul again means it's bound up. So the Gemara says, "My Eretz Kavul, Amr Yehuna, Shayu Ba Bnei Adam She Mekubalim BeKesef UBezav." They were, so to speak, tied around with silver and gold. Now, Amalei Ravi Hachi, if that be the case, then explain to me. He says, "Hainu Dechsiv Lo Yashu Bienov." The end of the pasuk says that he wasn't happy with these cities. If they were laden with gold and silver, why should he complain about that? And the answer is, "Neisha Mekubalim BeKesef Izav." Oh, this part of Rav's question: Lo Yashu Bienov. He's not happy with. He's not pleased with the gift that Shlomo gave him because the people are so rich with silver and gold. Amalei in. So Rav Huna answers, yes, this is why he was disappointed. Came in Dasiri Umefanki. So this is, the word of Mefanki is actually a modern Hebrew word today. Mefunakim. Mefunakim are those who are so wealthy, they don't want to get down into the trenches and get their hands dirty. Lo avdi avidita. They don't do any work. In other words, the king was asking the people of Israel, in this case, to do work, and they would help support the government and pay the taxes, but they were so wealthy, they were tied down, so to speak, with silver and gold, that they didn't want to do any work for the king, and that was a big disappointment for him. But in any event, you see that the word kavul means that they weren't productive. They didn't want to go to work and produce. If I have a few Americans here who might remember Dobie Gillis. Work? Anybody remember that word? Work? Okay. Eschatoi ni maskir. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar, he has a different take on the word kavulos. Eretz chomton hoisa. Now, chumton is a kind of a substance. It's something that that is used to preserve food. And this land had chumton. V'amai kari le kavul. So what's the connection between the word kavul and chumton? And the Gemara answers that Dimishtarga ba kara ad kavla. In other words, because of this salty substance in the earth, it got very muddy in the winter time, and people would sink into the mud, and they couldn't get their feet out, so they were like tied down. Again, the word kavul means, you know, you're incarcerated. Fiamri inshi. And there was an idiomatic phrase, Ara Mekabla Delo Aved Peri. It was so deep in the mud that it was impossible to plant and produce. And once again, this word kavul indicates the lack of productivity. And therefore, what they did was, and this was okay for them to go out on Shabbos, is Rechelim Yotzos Kavulos, as we said before, to prevent procreation. Then it says that they're allowed to go out kvunos. My kvunos, what does the word kvunos mean? Shemechabnin oso lemelas. In other words, when the newborn sheep, little shepsel, is born, then the mother makes sure that its wool is very clean, very white. She actually licks it up and keeps it clean. And that was special wool if you kept it clean. It was, you know, pure white wool, very expensive on the market. So what they would do is, after the little sheep was born and the mother cleaned off the wool, they would wrap the sheep up with some sort of covering, a protective covering. And they would tie that around, and that's called kvunos. Kedisnan, as we learned in the Mishnah Negoim, it says in the Mishnah in Negoim Se'es Kitzemer Lovan, various manifestations of Tzaras, one that looks white like wool. And what is this white wool? Ma'itzever Lovan. And Omer Abibi Bar Abaye Kitzemer Noki Ben Yomo. Like the very white, clean wool on the back of the lamb, the baby lamb, shemechabdin oso lemelas, and we cover it up and fasten it together, this covering around the wool, in order to keep it melas, to keep it in that very high quality melas, that wool that's pure white and gains, brings in a very nice amount of money. So that's called mechabdin, or the word kvunos, and it indicates that they put this covering around the body of the sheep in order to protect its wool. Now, it's interesting that here apparently the Gemara thinks that the word kvunos is understood, and there's no need to bring a pasuk to prove that that's what the word kvunos means. Ha'izim yotzos tsruros. So you're allowed to let the goats go out into Rishus HaRabim with a pouch that's tied to the udders. And we have three shittas with regard to this issue. According to Tanakama, you can tie this pouch in all circumstances. Rabbi Yossi only permits it. No, Rabbi Yossi says it's always awesome. Rabbi Yehuda has the compromise shita. He only permits it if you want to dry up the milk, because at certain points in the animal's... there's too much milk, and it's not healthy for the animals. And if you're only putting the pouch on to catch the dripping milk, that doesn't really do anything for the animal. That's not helpful for the animal, and that's masa. Then the animal is carrying something, and that's prohibited. Itmar, Rav Amar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav accepted this distinction of Rabbi Yehuda. Ushmuel Amar, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, according to Shmuel, it's always going to be asur. V'ika d'masni la shmaita ba'api nafshei. So there are different issues about this Mishnah, and therefore Rav and Shmuel had a machlokas explicitly about this issue of a pouch for the goats. And he said in Rav Amar Rav lo yabesh mutar v'lo lechalav, which again, that was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav came upon the sheet on his own, and Shmuel Amar Echad Zev Echad Zev Asur, it's always prohibited, even for the sake of the animal, and that's a surprise, that Shmuel is Machmir here, and even if the pouch is there to cause the milk to dry up, which is healthy for the animal at this point in its life, it's prohibited. Ika demasni le aha. Some say that statement of Shmuel was attached to a brisa. The brisa says, "Izim yotzos tzuros liyabish avalo lechelev lo lecholav mishum Rabbi Yehuda mebeseira amru kach halacha." Is that really the law that you can make this this distinction? Avol mi mefis. How can you draw lots? That's a phrase to indicate you'll never really know the difference. Ezel yabish v'ezel echolav. Now, the pouch doesn't look different whether it was there for this purpose, attached for that, or for that. Is mitoksha ein makirin? Since nobody can know the difference, echad zev yechad zev asur. Amar Shmuel. Amri le omer le Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. And we're not going to make this distinction between liabesh and lecholav, and in all cases it's prohibited. Ki asa Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he brought the tradition of Rabbi Yochanan, who is the giant in Eretz Yisrael, halachat k'tanakama. And if you remember, the Tanakama had an absolute leniency, and even in the case where he's putting the pouch there to draw to collect the milk, even that is permitted. The Mishnah says, "Ubameh eina yotza." Until now, we've been speaking about different attachments to the animal that are permitted in Rishus HaRabim. They're considered for the benefit of the animal, and it's not a masa. Now the Mishnah goes back to the original question, back in the beginning of that chapter, which are the prohibited attachments? Lo yetze gamal bimitulteles. A camel can't go out with mitulteles. We'll see the Gemara what this is. Lo akud velo ragul. Again, we're going to have to see the sugya. And then v'chein shar kol behemus. And this is true not only of the camel, but also of other animals. Lo yikshar gmalim zeba zeba yimshok. You're not allowed to tie a rope between two camels, and in order to pull the two at the same time. Avol machnis chavolim l'tok yodav yimshok. But what he's allowed to do is, if there is such a rope, he's allowed to pull each individual camel by the rope. Ubilvad shelo yichroch, but he's not allowed to wind the rope around his hand. All right, we don't really understand the Mishnah too well until we see the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. We have a Braisa. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, lo yetze agamal bimetuteles hakshura lo biznovo. So at least we now have a little bit of a clue as to what mituteles is, and it has to do with the tail of the animal. Okay? So it's something that it's attached to the tail, perhaps. What happens is when the animal carries a burden, then we have to attach something to the tail to make sure that that burden doesn't fall off. And that's all for the sake of masa, but has nothing to do with the health or the well-being of the animal. Aval yotze hu bimitulteles hakshura biznavo uvechotaro. Okay, now what's going on over here? So Rashi explains that a metulteles, unless it's kshura, unless it's really tied down in a strong way, is going to fall off. Or it might fall off. And if it falls off, he might be tempted to carry it four amos in Rishus HaRab. Now, what he does is, fasten it in a way that it won't fall off, and that would be permissible. He's got to tie it down biznovo ubichotaro. You know, a camel has a hump in the middle of its body, as you know. And what he does is, he ties down this mitulteles in a way that it's not going to fall off. It's, you know, he wraps it around the tail and the hump of the camel. And that's okay, it won't fall off. I mean, the big question here, and there's a whole discussion in the Achronim, is why is this mutter? Okay, it won't fall off, you tied it, but this is not for the benefit of the animal. I mean, this is just something that's done in order to make sure that the animal doesn't lose its burden. That doesn't seem to be anything other than a maso, so the question is why that's mutter. So you have to really study that in depth. Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Yotze Agamal Bimtuteles Hakshurla Bishilyasa. Sometimes a camel has a fetus that's about to come out, and you're allowed to tie it up in such a way that the placenta won't fall off, and that's for the benefit of the animal, that it shouldn't lose its young. And in the case of mitulteles, as we said before, you know, this is a little bit of a burden on the back of the camel, and unless you tie it down very tightly, the animal is going to kind of shake it off. But in this case of shilyasa, the camel is not going to shake it off. It doesn't want to lose its young. Now the Mishnah says, lo akud velo ragul. What is this referring to? Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Akud, interesting, the word Akud comes from Akedas Yitzchak. And Akedas Yitzchak tells us that Avram tied down Yitzchak. And again, this Gemara is a little bit hard for me to teach, because I get, it shakes me up the wrong way here, but what can I tell you? I didn't write the text. Akud Akedas Yad V'Regel, Ki Yitzchak Ben Avram. You know, Avram wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Shechita that he was commanded to do. And Avram actually tied up Yitzchak's hand with his foot in such a way that the neck would protrude so that he could shecht it and Yitzchak would not move at all. He wouldn't flinch. And this is something that is prohibited with regard to Shabbos. If you do akud akidas yad v'regel, you tie the front legs of the animal to the hind legs of the animal. That's called akud. What's ragul? Ragul shelo yachuf yado al gabi zro v'yikshar, which means that what they did was the foreleg of the animal, which is otherwise known as yado, the hand, that's the, you know, the leg in the front of the animal, used to be tied to the agabi zro v'yikshar. In other words, they would bend the lower leg, the lower foreleg, and they would tie it in that way. They actually, literally, it means they would bend the lower foreleg onto its upper foreleg and tie it there. So I think what happens is they sort of like bent the leg and then they would tie it together so the animal couldn't get away. They sort of chained it down in that sense. And that's prohibited. It might be good for the owner of the animal that the animal won't be able to run away, but it's not considered for the benefit of the animal. Meisve, we have a brisa that says, Okud shtei yodayim ushtei raglayim. According to this brisa, he ties both the forelegs and the hind legs. And ragul shel yachuf yado al gabi zro v'yikshar. Okay, ragul is exactly what we said it was before, but akud changes because it's shtei yodayim ushtei raglayim. Until now we said it was yado al gabi zro, it was one leg up front with one leg in the back. Now we're talking about the two legs up front and the two legs in the back. So the Gemara answers that, and it would imply that if it would be only one leg and not two legs, then it would be permissible, and that's against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yehuda follows a different Tana. Hudi Omer Ki Hai Tana Desanya Akud Akidas Yad V'Regel. So it's only one leg from the front and one leg from the back. O Shtei Yadayim Ushtei Raglayim. Alternatively, included under the prohibition of Akud is the two legs in the front and the two legs in the back are all bound together. Ragul shel yachuf yado al gabi zro v'yikshar. This we've seen over and over again. So the Gemara says, Vakati lo dami. Bishlei mereisha v'seifa nicha. I could understand the first part of the Braisa and the second part of the Braisa. So the first part of the Braisa says, Akud akidus yad v'regel. The last part of the Braisa tells me about ragul. But in the middle, Mitziyasa, where he ties the two forelegs and the two hind legs, is Kasha. That seems to contradict Rabbi Yehuda. And the reason for that is that when the Braisa offers a second definition of Akud, that he ties the two legs together, the two forelegs together, the two back legs together, that's against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the word akud means that he ties one leg up front with one leg in the back. Ella, but rather, who the Amakya Haitana, that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is reflected in a different brisa. The brisa says akud akidas yad v'regel, that it's only one leg and one leg, ki Yitzchak ben Avram, and it means it was the foreleg was tied to the hind leg, and that's similar to the Akedah of Yitzchak, and Ragul Sheyachol Yachuf Yado Al Gabi Zro V'Yikshar. So here we see clearly that this brisa reflects the Shita of Yehuda, that it's one leg tied to one leg, a front leg to the back leg. Then the Mishnah says, V'lo Yikshar Gmalin, and we're not allowed to tie camels together. One camel to the other. My timer. Why should this be prohibited? If you recall, when we spoke about rams, and he ties them together so that they shouldn't run away, that was good for the animal, and that was mutter. Why is this asur? Omer of Ashi Mishum de Mechse Kimandi Ozil Lechinga. It looks like they're taking the camels to the marketplace to sell them. And that's called Maris Ayin. Because when they took camels to the marketplace for selling, then they would tie the camels together. That was the way they brought it to the marketplace. But if, let's say, for example, he would take the camel for another reason, let's say he wants to take the camel to the river to drink from the water of the river, then he would hold the leash of one camel in his hand, maybe he would hold the leash of another camel in his hand, but this kind of wrapping them together by roping them in pairs, that was done for the purpose of market. And that's prohibited because people might think he's taking the camels to the market. Of a machnis, he's allowed to gather the ropes into his hand, pull them all together at the same time, as long as he doesn't wind the ropes around his hand. Amar Ravashi lo shanu elinyan kilayim. In other words, the issue of winding the ropes around his hand has nothing to do with masa on Shabbos, and it would be prohibited even during the week because of kilayim. Which means that these ropes were made of a combination of linen and wool. That's how they produce these ropes. And when he ties them around his hand, he warms up his hand, so to speak. That's a kind of a levisha. And he violates the Isur Kilayim. Kilayim Demai. Now there are different types of Kilayim. One type of Kilayim is that you're not allowed to work two species of animals simultaneously. And in this case, he's working together with the animal. And by pulling the animal, the camel in this case, this is a violation of an Isur that the Torah formulates in Parshas Ki Teitze of Lo Tachros Shor V'Chamor Yachtov. So the Gemara rejects this totally out of hand. This is out of hand based on a Mishnah in Kilayim. Adam muterim kulam lachrosh v'limshach. An animal is and a human being, that combination is muter. A man could pull the animal and plow with the animal, and that's not prohibited. The Torah only prohibits shor v'chamor yacht of two different species of animals, but a human being with an animal, that's fine. Ela kilayim dechavolim, it must be that the ropes themselves were made up of both tzemer and pishtan. So Gemara rejects this as well. V'atanya atokef tchifa achas eno chibur. The Gemara says that based on a Mishnah in Kilayim that the Torah prohibits when the wool and the linen are yachtov. Yachtov means that they are joined together in a lasting fashion, a kesher shel kayama. But if they'll fall apart eventually, that's okay. Now what happens is, see, I told you before that the rope itself was a combination of wool and linen. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that there are two different ropes. One rope was made of wool, one rope was made of linen. And he wraps them both around his hand. So Gemara says that's only a temporary kind of connection. That's not yachtov. That's not permanent. So the Gemara goes back and says, Li'olam kilayim dechavolim. V'halchi kamar u'bilvad shlo yikroch v'yikshar. Ah, the problem is that when he takes two different ropes into his hand and he ties them together and he does this in a double knot, which is called a keshel kayoma, then it's as if he has a garment that's made of kilayim, of tzemer and pishtan, and he's warming up his hand. He's like wearing it around his hand. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel is again talking about this halach in the Mishnah about pulling camels by their leashes on Shabbos. In a Rishus Arabil Vachlo Yetzei Chevel. Amar Shmuel Yeshelo Tachas Yado Tefach. What he's saying is that if the rope just one second if the rope hangs down below his head, one tefach, so then in such a case, just one second, I'm trying to remember which is also which is mutter, the end of the rope, oh, that's it. You see, the heter here is to pull the animal in Rosh Hashanah, but you're not allowed to carry the rope. If the rope hangs down, then that part of the rope he's carrying. How much of the rope has to hang down in order for him to be carrying the rope? Meaning that it has to be nikar, it has to be apparent to the onlooker, that's a tefach. But Vatana de Beis Shmuel, we have a brisa that was taught in the very yeshiva of Shmuel, and that's his tefachayim, which means we could be more lenient, and even if the rope is hanging down to tefachim, that's also mutter, it doesn't look like he's carrying the rope, it's just like extra rope that's hanging down. In other words, Shmuel wanted to be very machmir, so to make sure that no violation would be violated, he guaranteed it by saying tfachayim. I'm sorry, by saying tefach, just the other way around. So he said that if there's a tefach, then it's prohibited. Really, in conceptual terms, theoretically, tefach would not be prohibited. It would only be prohibited if it's hanging down to tefach. And now we turn to Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. And Vatanya, we learned in a brisa of Vachi Agbia Minakarka Tefach. And this brisa says that the end of the leash can extend beneath his hand as far as he likes, as long as it's one tefach before above the ground. Kitanya hi bechavla de beni beni. That brisa was addressing the case of a rope that's between the person and the animal. So we're not talking about the end of the rope, but you know, the rope has a distance to the animal's neck, and then there's another part of the rope that hangs down, and they're two different issues. One issue is the part of the rope that hangs down, that looks like he's carrying that rope, and the other issue is the part that's between the you know, the person is holding on to the rope and the animal, and that's okay. We don't care about the length of the or the distance between the hand and the hand held by the holding the rope and the neck of the animal. That's not a problem. But it must be one tefach above the ground. If it's very close to the ground, then nobody could see it, and they don't realize that he's pulling the animal. And once again, it would seem if he's not pulling the animal to guide the animal and lead it, then it looks like the animal is carrying a burden. The Mishnah tells me about a donkey. Ein chamor yotze b'mardas. Mardas, we said, was the cloth that's on the animal's back, separating the back of the animal from the saddle. Bizman shein ekshulo. We have to make sure that you tie down this piece of cloth. Otherwise, we're afraid it might fall, and you might carry it in Rosh Hashanah. The lo bizug. Now we're talking about a bell. Afal pishu pakuk, even though he clogs up the bell, so there's no problem with music. But nevertheless, a chamor doesn't usually go out with bells. And therefore, it's not considered any sort of embellishment or ornament for the animal. And it becomes a masa. The lo bisulam shebet savaro. Okay, the Gemara is going to tell us what this sulam Sheva Chavolo is literally a ladder. I mean, they shaped something around its neck and that looked like a ladder. Velo Beretzua Sheraglo. You're not allowed to take it out, this donkey, with a strap around its leg. The Eina Tarnagolim Yotzim Bechutim. You don't carry or lead Tarnagolim with a cord, you know, a leash. There's no such thing as a leash for Tarnagolim, because this is not the normal way of doing it. And we don't usually strap their legs. We're back to the case of the rams. You know, they used to put a little wagon under the tail. And the reason for that is the tail would sometimes rub on the ground and it would injure the animal. So they put a wagon underneath it, and the animal would sort of like pull this wagon that was attached to its tail, and that would protect its tail. The question is, why is that prohibited? L'chora, that's for the benefit and the protection of the animal. So you have to figure out why the Mishnah prohibits it. Ein arachelim yotzim yotzos bechanunos. We don't know what the word chanunos is. The Gemara is going to talk about that. V'eina egel yotze begemon. Again, we don't know exactly. The calf is not allowed to go out with a gemon, a gimon. We have to figure out what that means. V'lo para b'ar hakupar. A certain kind of a skin that came from a hog. And you're not allowed to put that on the udders of the cow. V'lo b'ritzua shemein karnel. You're not allowed to tie up the horns of the cow with a strap. But the Mishnah tells us that in fact, Parasa Shereb Lozim and Azariah Siyotzeb Ritzu Shemen Karnea, Velov Ritzon Chachomet. You know, the cow Reb Lozim went with the strap between its horns, and maybe he felt that he needs to control his cow. The cow might go loose, but the Chachomim were opposed to it. So the Gemara goes back now to the case of Mardas. And it says, my timer, why does it make sure that we have to tie down this cloth? Kidam Marin, as we said before, because otherwise it might fall off. And, also we said that he has to guarantee that he tied it down before Shabbos, you remember, to demonstrate that it's for the benefit of the animal. Now, as far as the bell is concerned, lo bezug, afal pishu pakuk, mishum de mechse kiman diosel bechinga. Again, When they took the donkeys to the marketplace and they wanted to sort of beautify them and call attention so that they could get a good buyer for it, they would put bells on. So people might think that he put the bells on and he's on his way to the market. Now what is this ladder on the neck of the donkey? Omer Avhuna Bei Lua. Now Lua is the lechayayim, that's the cheek. And bay means something that ties around the cheek of the donkey. Lamay of delay, why would he do such a thing and tie up the cheek of the donkey? And the answer is, lehecha de isle maka, de lo hodar chayech bay. Hodar means to turn around, chayech means to scratch. So what they did was, they tied a brace around the cheek of the animal that would make it impossible for the animal to turn around. Because the animal had some sort of wound, and the animal would scratch the wound. So in order to sort of incarcerate the wound, and make sure that it would, the donkey, and make sure that it wouldn't turn around to scratch this wound, they put on this brace, which is called Beiloa. Now, once again, we have to figure out, why is this called a Masa? If this brace is preventing the animal from turning its head and scratching the wound with its teeth, then this is something for the benefit of the animal. And if you recall, we had a case where the animal had a broken limb, and we put splints on both sides of the limb, a brace, and that was permissible. Why is this brace prohibited? So the Sfasem is based on Rashi, says that this brace mentioned here is very valuable. In the case of the splints mentioned back on Nun Gimel, those were cheap pieces of wood, and if they fell off, you know, there was no interest in schlepping them back anywhere, carrying them back. But these braces that we're talking about here, which is called Beilua, that was built like a ladder, constructed in a very, so it's very sophisticated, very expensive, and if it falls off on Shabbos, he may carry it back to his house, inadvertently. V'lo b'ritzua shebaraglo, why would he tie up a strap on its leg of the donkey? The ovid lei ligizra, the strap was made in order to prevent the animal from injuring itself. And we're talking about an animal that knocks its feet one against the other. And they put bands around each foot, and that would soften the bang, you know, when they knocked one against the other. Again, we have to understand why this is prohibited, and we have to assume that maybe it might fall off. Which again leads me to believe that if he would tie it on very tightly, it would be mutter. But again, I'm not here to write a Mishnah Berurah. The Einat Tarnagolin Yotzim Bechutman. So chickens cannot go out with their chut. Chut means a cord. The Avdile Simana. Why were they putting these cords on? Because there were chickens in this coop and that coop belonging to Reuven and Shimon. So to identify that these belong to Reuven and they shouldn't be exchanged with Shimon, they would tie down these cords. The lobiritsua, the chickens cannot go out with a strap on their legs. The ovidle, why did he put the strap on their legs? And this has to do with the sugya of Bava Kama called Sroros, that the animals used to, the chickens especially, used to shoot out pebbles as they walked. And that would damage people's property. So in order to limit that damage, they would use a strap to tie up the legs of the chicken. But again, that has no benefit for the chicken. And therefore, it is considered a masa. Ein azchorim yotzim ba'gola. The rams cannot go out with this little wagonette under their tail. Kiechidilo lechamton al yosa. What was the purpose of this miniature wagon? It's so that the tail would not be bruised, as we discussed in the Mishnah, because the tail is very heavy in the case of a ram, and it schleps on the ground. So to prevent it from being bruised, they put on this wagonette. And once again, you have to assume that it was a very expensive item that could fall off. The Ein Arachelim Yotzeis Chanunos, the ewes cannot go out in the state of Chanunos. And we want to know what Chanunos means. Yosef, Rav Achabar Ula Kami, Rav Chizda, Yosef Vekomar. And he explained that Mishoshe Gozes in Oso, when it's time to shear the wool off the back of the sheep, Tom Nimla Ezek B'Shemen, right, they immerse a compress of oil, umenichem la padachto, kidei shelo titztanen. In other words, when it's time for shearing the animal and the animal gets cold, we want to make sure that we protect its health, so we put a compress of oil on its forehead. Very sophisticated way of taking care of your sheep. Amalei Rav Chizda said, himkena sisa mar ukva. You're treating the sheep like you would treat one of the greats, Mar Ukva. It can't be that this is what they did, you know, with an oil compress on its forehead. Ella, but rather, Yosef Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Kamid Rav Chizav Yosef Komar Bishoshe Koras Lelet. When the sheep is crouching to give birth, and it gets very cold, is Tomnin Lashnei Azokim Shal Shemen. They would immerse two compresses in oil, umenichem la echad al padachta, and they would put one on its forehead, the echad al harechem, and another one on its womb, kedeshet tischamen. Because again, when the animal is giving birth, it gets very cold, and we want to make sure that the mother sheep is warm. Rav Nachman rejects this as well. In Kena Sisa Yalsa. Yalsa is the wife of Rav Nachman. And you know, you're treating the animal as if it was the wife of Rav Nachman. You know, this was not standard procedure. Elo Amar Rav Huna Eitz Echad Yesh Bekrachi Ayam. There's a certain tree in the cities by the sea, Vechanun Shmo, its name is Chanun, right? We're trying to understand the word Chanunos. And Chanun is a kind of an expression of mercy. Umevim Kisam Aminichim La Bechotma. They used to take a small twig or a little piece of the tree, and they used to put it in its nostril, Kadesha Tis Ashesh. And it was very good for the sheep to sneeze. The Yiplu Darne Rosha, because when it sneezed, the little bugs in its hair, in its head, would fall out when it sneezed. It banged it down. Why does the Mishnah limit this to a discussion about the female ewes? So the answer is, the male sheep are much more active and aggressive, is memela naflin. When they butt each other, the worms fall out. So there's no need to get this eitz chanun in order to make sure that they sneeze. Now we have another definition of chanunos. Shimon Nazira, he was a nazir, and he said, kisma derisma. We're talking about rosem. You may remember we spoke about rosem. It's a kind of wood that remains hot for a long time. And he took a chip off this rosem wood, and again he put it into the nostril of the sheep to make it sneeze and get rid of its worms. Bishleimel Rav Huna, Haine Diktani Chanunos. According to Rav Huna, we understand what the word chanun means. It's a kind of a wood, which is called a chanun wood. El Rabban and my chanunos. But according to the other explanations, what does the word chanunos mean? What's the root of the word? Davdinilu milsa de merachmin alayu. That we do something for the compassion that we have for the sheep to get rid of its worms. V'ena egel yotze begimon. My egel begimon. What does it mean? A calf with a gimon. Or Rav Huna bar nira. A gimon is a small yoke. Now, what was the purpose of the small yoke? The calf from its birth had to be trained. Again, I'd love to ask a biologist about this, an animal expert. But I always thought cows naturally look towards the ground, but that's not so, according to the Gemara. We had to train them from their birth that the calf would bend its head by putting a yoke on top of it. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, my mashvadai gibon lishna de mechif. Why is the word gibon indicative of bending down? Dechsiv, based on a pasuk in Yeshayo and Novi, it says halachof biagmon rosho. It is to bend one's head like a fish hook. So a fish hook is bent, and to bend the head like a fish hook is called agmon. Velo para biar hakupar. A cow is not to go out with this kind of a skin from a hog. What was the purpose of the skin in the case of a cow? That the cow should not be exposed to various kinds of leeches that used to kind of suck the milk from her. So they put a shield around the cow in order to protect its skin. And that shield was taken, it was a skin that was taken from a particular kind of a hog. And apparently the skin of the hog was full of spines, like a porcupine, and it would prevent the leeches from sucking the milk. And once again, you have to figure out why this is called a masa. This would seem to be in protection of the animal, unless again, it's either loose or very expensive. The lober tzua shemain karnel, we don't put a strap between the horns of a cow. So Gemara says the following, Ila Rav, yesterday we had a machlok shin Rav and Shmuel. Rav di Omer, he holds bein lenoi, bein l'shamer, osur. That even if the purpose is to control the animal, it's osur. But Ila Shmuel di Omer lenoi, osur, but l'shamer mutur. That whatever you need to control the animal is mutur. So then we have to say that according to Shmuel, lo bertzua shemein karneh means that there's no need to add this strap between the horns of the cow in order to control the cow. The cow is very placid and it doesn't require. Parosel shrav lozim ben Azariah, the cow of Rav Lozim ben Azariah actually went out with this ritzua between its horns. V'chada para havyuleh. And we're talking about the single cow, the one cow of Rav Lozman Azariah. Rav Lozman Azariah was so rich. Amile Omer Rav Yehuda Marav, Tresar Alfe Igle Avi Maaser, Rav Lozman Azariah Me Edre Kol Shata V'Shat every year. He used to be mafrish from what's called Meiser Behema, 1/10. He took 12,000 calves for Maaser. Multiply that by 10 and you'll try to get an idea how wealthy he was. So what's this one cow that he tied the thing around? Tana, Lo shelo haisa, el shel shchento haisa. This was not his cow, but it belonged to a female neighbor of his. So why is it called his cow? And the Chachamim were very upset about his cow, and it didn't even belong to him, it belonged to his neighbor. Mitoch shelo micha ba nikreis al shmo. Because he should have protested and made a macha against his neighbor and told her, how are you allowing the cow to go out with this strap between its horns? And he didn't say a word. He let it go. So he's considered as if he's guilty of transgressing this avera. And this is where we're going to stop for today, because now we're going to go into a long discussion in the Agadita about something called Kol Misha Efshel Limchos, a person who could have protested against a violation of someone who's close to him, and he could have had an impact, and he failed to do so. So let's just make a note of where we got up to.